Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting installment of Live Free Austin Radio, livefreeaustinradio.com, broadcasting every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m., 98.9, The Big Talker. You can check us out on livefreeaustinradio.com. Also, be sure to check out our Facebook page, Live Free Austin. Just search it there in the search bar. We'd love for you to be our friends and join the conversation. Jason Rink here, John Bush, got a great show lined up. We're going to be chatting about the TSA naked body scanners. We're pushing back here in the city of Austin, preventing them from including a body scanner at the Austin-Bergstrom International Airport. Additionally, we're going to be chatting briefly about Austin Regional Intelligence Center, our fusion center, which just launched a couple days ago. But we also have an in-studio guest, Dr. David Berry. He's going to be chatting about his new book, Cha-Ching Wisdom. And we're also going to be chatting about the healthcare issue as well, which he's studied and researched extensively. How you doing today, Jason?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Always bringing people the news, views, and tools they can use to live a more free and prosperous life.
That's right.
And, you know, today's going to be no different. Always wanting to present things from the perspective of liberty, trying to have a consistent perspective of liberty when it comes to whatever it is, healthcare, when it comes to economics, when it comes to foreign policy. What we believe and what we're always trying to promote is that freedom is the answer mm-hmm. to whatever the question is. And many times what we do is we're looking to government to solve all of these problems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the example we have, you know, really with the whole TSA issue and security at the airports, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had this situation where after in the wake of 9/11, you know, here we are. We have to have these heightened security measures.
I'm so scared.
So where do we go? Where do people look? They look to government to solve this problem.
Save me.
And there's, you know, we could talk extensively about how, you know, the airlines and the free market, and there's a lot of other ways that this service could be provided.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're starting to see is that because government is the provider of this security service,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of a take-it-or-leave-it prospect here,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
No choice. They often eliminate choice in their monopoly practice. And, of course, the TSA has a monopoly on the provision of security, or at least overseeing security in major airports. And now they got this great idea that checking out everybody's naked body in their packages is going to somehow keep us safe. Well, we disagree here on the radio show. And also the local movement of Austin Liberty activists. Several organizations got involved also, Texans for Accountable Government being one of them. You can check out tagtexas.org for more info. Of course, we covered the national opt-out day. We're actually on the cutting edge of pushing back on TSA.
That's right, and we want to remind everyone, I brought it first when the TSA took my soup.
Atrocious.
If you recall, they took my soup, they confiscated my soup. That's when I put the call out
That's right. The TSA
needs to go down. And Shortly after that, coincidentally or not, this caught fire in America. So I'm not taking the credit. If you want to give it to me, you can. But
started with the bowl of soup, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. That's right. And so the issue was, though, here in Austin, if I recall, that originally they said they weren't going to be able to do it because the second floor
mm-hmm.
of the Austin-Bergstrom Airport could not support the body scanners, right? But then something happened where they had like another version of the body scanner they were going to try to implement.
Yeah, apparently they overlooked another contractor that makes these body scanners, and apparently there's one that's lighter, so it will be able to maintain the integrity of the second floor of Austin-Bergstrom International Airport. The news reports came out in the Austin American Statesman. Austin will be getting one in, you know, March of 2011. A lot of the news reports that covered our recent action, which we're about to chat about, were like, you know, it doesn't really matter what Austin has to say. The federal government's going to bring it in anyway. You know, all honky-dory-like. Well, not if we can help it. So as I was saying, the National Opt-Out Day took place. I think it was the 24th of last month. People all across the country got active, showed up to their airports. The media made it seem like the Opt-Out Day was a failure, when in reality there was a massive reduction in the number of travelers who actually chose to fly. Many people started driving this season, this holiday season. So, you know, they actually opted out of the air travel altogether, which was the original goal. It was a great success. And in addition to that success right there, we also managed to create such a stir that the Austin Airport Advisory Commission under the Austin City Council that oversees and provides oversight for the Austin-Bergstrom International Airport, they went ahead and carried a resolution that would express their outrage, their disinterest in Austin getting a naked body scanner. And there was just a hearing a few days ago. Texans for Accountable Government, a local Austin activist, showed up in full force. I hear there was 30 to 40 people, about 20 of them testified. And wouldn't you know it, the commission ended up passing a resolution expressing their outrage and their disdain for the idea of Austin-Bergstrom International Airport getting a body scanner. So the next step is we activists are going to take that resolution. We're going to shop it around to all the local political groups and neighborhood groups, Travis County Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party, Green Party, ACLU, the Latino group LILAC, NAACP, so on and so forth. We're going to get their endorsement on this because most people agree that these body scanners are definitely an overreach. And then we're going to take it to the city council. Hopefully we can get them to endorse it as well. We can send a strong message of the federal government to stay the heck out of our affairs at the airport. And hopefully, thanks to a lot of hard work, we won't have to be subjected to that tyranny here in Austin.
Well, that's right. And this is an example of local action. And so many times what we do is we look to the highest levels of government to try to solve problems. We try to influence our Congress people and our U.S. senators and the president. But really what we've got to do is we've got to start at these local level battles where we can actually influence, where 20 people, 30 people can make a huge impact. And that's something that Texans for Accountable Government that, you know, I've seen them doing, even when I was not here in Texas, I was aware of the activities of Texans for Accountable Government, just taking a dedicated group of people and getting them involved at the local level and representing the the great masses of people who identify with these issues. Because there's a lot of people out there that are against these things, that don't want these body scanners. And yet many people aren't going to get active. But what we've got to do is we've got to increase our numbers to just express our voice and be heard. And one of the outcomes that this could have now is if there's not a body scanner put in here at the Austin-Bergstrom Airport, you know, then you do create an interesting little market experiment because I believe there's a body scanner down in San Antonio.
Yeah, there's like five or six in Texas.
Yeah, so, you know, it does give people in the general vicinity a little bit of a choice where you can say, you know, I'd rather not go through that process.
Right. That's a good point.
And so, you know, I'm not sure that it's a measurable test, but at least what that's doing is it's not putting us as people and travelers in this box where you don't have a solution, you know.
Yep.
People can now choose at least one airport in the area where this is not going to be an invasion of privacy.
Sure, and you make a good point. A lot of people, especially a lot of conservatives in the Tea Party movement, they have a tendency to look up and to look to the federal government to solve all their problems. They see the federal government as a big enemy, and they often neglect to realize that a lot of authority and a lot of power and a lot of legislation and a lot of intrusions are taking place at the local and state level, and that just so happens to be the level where our limited energy, our limited time, our limited money, our limited resources are most efficiently and effectively expended. And Jason, you had a group back in Ohio, the Ohio Liberty Alliance. Catherine Bly, she's going to be coming on the show a little bit later. She's an activist from Missouri. They had the Liberty Restoration Project, and much like Texans for Accountable Government, it fits that same mold of local and state activism. And then what you can do when you have victories in your local neck of the woods is you can share it with other activists across the country to take the same effect and take the same type of action in their neck of the woods. And then before you know it, you know, we have this ground up grassroots movement. And sooner than later, hopefully we'll have our country taken back.
Well, and one last point on this is that, you know, it's sort of popular right now in the Tea Party movement. And I mean, this is true theoretically, is to say, well, you know, we the people, we're the employer. And these people work for us. These people in Congress and in Washington and these government servants, they work for us. Well, that's true in theory. But if you sit around on the couch eating chips, watching TV, that you're not acting like an employer very much when it comes to the government. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're not investing in the process, if you're not educating yourself in the process and on the issues as a good business owner would of their own business, then, you know, you really don't have much of a right to say, yeah, I'm the employer here. And that's the problem, is that for so long as Americans, we have gone to sleep and said, you know what, we are just going to just give this duty of running things and running the show to this small group of people. And right now we need to wake up. We need to say, you know what? It's about time that we started acting like we own the government, because we do. And it's time to take that power back. And that starts at the local level, because that's where you can have impact. That's where you can have victory.
Sure. And you, the listener, have a wonderful opportunity to take action and get involved. If you do not like the idea of having to be subjected to either a naked body scanner, which, of course, studies have shown this exposure to radiation can be harmful, especially on susceptible populations, or if you don't want to be subjected to having your body viewed naked by a stranger. Additionally, if you don't have have to go through the invasive pat-down where they pat your junk and your crotch. It's absolutely atrocious. We're inviting you to call your local city council. You can go to cityofaustin.org and then click on city government. And then from there, you'll see a list of all these 7 council members, including the mayor. And we just encourage you to take action. It's really simple, guys, to get involved. You can be an activist from sitting on your couch, even. Just call the city council. There's 7 of them. But we want you to focus particularly on the mayor of the city of Austin. His name is Mayor Lee Leffingwell, whom actually used to be a pilot. So perhaps he'll be sympathetic, even though he's not on 99% of the stuff that we get involved in. But you can call him personally at 512-974-2250. That's 512-974-2250. And we would appreciate your assistance in our local efforts to push back on the TSA, the Department of Homeland Security, the federal government, and overreaching government in general. So again, call Mayor Lee Leffingwell at 512-974-2250 and let him know that you do not want to be subjected to the naked body scanner or enhanced pat-downs, and you can take your part in being a good, responsible business owner. They work for us!
That's right. That's right. So, well, we do have a good show lined up today. We are going to be talking about financial wisdom in soundbite form, a good little book that I just came across here a couple of days ago called Cha-Ching Wisdom.
Cha-Ching!
And the author is a local doctor who is going to be doing a book signing here later today, this evening, in at Brave New Bookstore.
1904 Guadalupe Street.
That's right. So stick around with us for this next segment when we have Dr. Barry, who will be talking about his book, also talking about the healthcare bill and what's been going on in the world of healthcare and how this is going to impact you as the patient. Thanks for joining us today on Live Free Austin. We're here every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9. And stick around with us till after the break.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
Welcome back to the Live Free Austin radio show every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker. You can also check us out at livefreeaustinradio.com. We got podcasts up from our 8 previous shows, which have been stellar, if I may say so myself.
They have been, and downloaded thousands of times so far.
Tens of thousands.
That's
hundreds
right.
of thousands.
That's
Who
right.
knows? We're not keeping
you
track.
You can't prove it. But yeah, so check it out because we do have a good backlog of information, especially on the economics front, which we're going to be talking about some today.
Mm-hmm.
Interview with Thomas Woods, who is an author, best-selling author, Robert Murphy, well-known economist. So we do have a good, we got Deborah Medina in there. We've got some interesting shows. We've got some other interesting shows lined up here for the rest of the month where we're going to have Catherine Bleich in studio. We're also going to be talking with a naturopathic doctor next week, Robert Scott Bell. So we always are trying to mix it up, keep it interesting.
Yep.
We don't want to just go all political because it's not, politics isn't the source of liberty here.
Nor is it the answer.
That's right. You know, liberty, we have liberty inside of us. Freedom is the natural state.
Inherent.
It's inherent in our humanity. And so what we're going to talk about is how we make decisions as people to live a free and prosperous life.
That's right. That's politics isn't the answer. Freedom's the answer.
That's right.
What's the question? Well, here's a question I have for our in-studio guest. His name is Dr. David L. Barry, MD. He's a specialist in high-risk and complicated pregnancies. He established an Austin-based practice in 1997, right after he got done with his training. He served as the chief of obstetrics at Seton Medical Center in Austin, and he's actively served pregnant women in Central Texas continuously for almost 14 years. Got one heck of a resume. Went to Westlake High School, which is right down the road from where we're recording. Went to the University of Texas at Austin. Hook 'em horns. Sorry about the last season, Horns fans. looks like he got his medical degree at University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. His residency in Fort Worth. He's also a libertarian. He is a subscriber to Ron Paul philosophy. He's the chairman of Precinct 345 here in Texas. So he's politically active as well. He's got wonderful insights into the economics and also, I mean, he's a doctor, so we can get some healthcare insights. So why don't we start with that? And then we're going to chat about his book. It's Cha-Ching Wisdom. We'll tell you where you can pick it up And I've read through the whole thing. So has Jason. It's really great. Got a lot of great insight here. A lot of common sense stuff that people often overlook. So it's a wonderful work. But first, let's talk a little bit about liberty, the United States Constitution, and the health care bill. So Dr. David Berry, maybe just start by telling us what you thought when you first heard about the Obamacare and you know, the prospects of it being passed through.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be included on 98.9 this afternoon. And yes, and unfortunately, I've much like I actually met Dr. Ron Paul and his wife back about a little over two years ago. He had been an inspiration to me, and we met for Sunday brunch down in Surfside, Texas.
Mm, cool.
Spent about 3 hours with him talking policy and politics and economics. My father is a PhD in economics and has a endowed professorship there at Texas Tech, where I was born up in Lubbock. So we've had little chats from pretty much 40 years of my life. Over dinner, we talk about economics, we talk about finance, so this has been part of my life. And yes, unfortunately, got involved, whether I liked it or not. I was just, I couldn't sit on the sidelines anymore. I had to get involved and do something. When I read about the Obamacare bill, I actually took it upon myself to read the whole bill. Wow. It was actually the House version of the bill from cover to cover back.
That's evidence that you are not.
Yes.
That's evidence you're not a congressman because you've read the bill. So great.
Exactly. None of your congressmen have, nor have your senators. It turns out the Senate version was the one that passed, but for the most part, it was similar to the House care bill.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff there. And I mean, what do you think are some of the most atrocious parts as a doctor?
Well, the biggest complication is that although it's represented in mainstream media that the American Medical Association endorsed this bill. That may be true, but the American Medical Association does not represent most private care healthcare workers. Most private doctors are not even members of AMA. They may represent more the interests of the medical schools and of academia, but not of the private healthcare doctors that treat your strep throat and deliver your babies. So unfortunately, within this bill, which is written primarily by the insurance industry is made whole. American Hospital Association, their bottom line is not really affected. Pharmaceutical companies are made whole. And when you raise the costs significantly and don't raise the funds to pay for it, you got to cut costs somewhere. Only place to cut cost is me, your local doctor. So you'll have, if the Obamacare bill stays intact as is, as law, as it is right now, I can foresee within 4 years you're going to have 30% of doctors in the United States will quit.
Wow. Well, yeah, that would be terrible.
No doubt.
That leads me to something I want to quote from your book here. This is funny. This book is great because it's soundbite. It's a great book to have on the table sitting in the house, give as a gift at Christmas, put on the back of the toilet, if I must say so myself.
The toilet book. I'm honored.
Listen,
not in the toilet.
But listen, it's one of those books that you just want to have around to be able to just pick up some wisdom here. And so it says, this is on page 30. When it comes to matters of government, medical care, and home or car repair, you have three options, but you may pick only two. Good, cheap, and fast. And you go on to talk about the healthcare bill just briefly there. But it's interesting. You know, it's government's promising all three. You know,
of course. Well, and actually in the book that referenced an event I went to for Dennis Kucinich, a presidential campaign back in 2004. And I asked him that very question, good, cheap, or fast, which one would you like to eliminate? And you look at any healthcare system and you can only have two. You cannot have all three. If it's good and cheap, it's going to be extraordinarily slow. Canadian healthcare system being an example, you know, you wait 2-3 years for your bypass surgery. But if you want, you know, pick two. Nobody's willing to say, what are you not going to provide? Somebody's actually got to step up and decide, what is government responsible for? What are we as society responsible for? And what is individual responsibility? I'm big into individual responsibility. Maybe some sort of safety net for, we don't want people dying of strep throat, but, you know, then open governmental clinics that then provide some sort of minimum care safety net, stand in line for 8 hours and get your penicillin shot, and you're done.
Yeah, a lot of modern day liberals, you know, really favor this bill because, you know, let's face it, we libertarians agree that the healthcare system as is, the status quo, is shot. And, you know, we think it's because government is involved in the first place that causes the problem. But outside of this healthcare reform, which is only going to make matters worse, what do you see as some solutions to solving the current healthcare crisis, some people have called it?
Well, going back to economics, it's all a question of economics. I've never seen any sort of, or even heard of any sort of business model that you can add more middlemen and decrease the cost. That's crazy. Take out the middlemen. Take out the insurance companies. I run a clinic that a medical office here in Austin that'll see 30 to 40 patients per day. I, as one doctor, employ 10 employees, four of which do nothing but insurance. Travel around or call around, find out
mm-hmm.
who's insured, who, what coverage do they have, what's their copay, what's their deductible. And then I get paid less than 50% of what I charge to do that and employ four employees full time to chase the charges around. Mm-hmm. What would happen if we eliminated the middleman of the insurance company? Someone came to me, paid me for the service that they needed. I provided that service, got paid for it immediately, didn't have to wait 90 to 120 days to get paid. Cut out the middleman. Maybe I would probably charge 70% less than what I charge right now up front. So I'll drop my charges by 70% mm-hmm. if we change the system, eliminate the middleman, you write me a check.
Wow.
Well, and you know, there's this myth out there that, you know, if government would be decreased in the healthcare system, that somehow we're going to go into this state of, like, I don't know, early 1800s medical care, you know, where people are dying of the simplest things or whatever. It's like this complete myth. And it's like, oh, because the free markets are so evil and capitalism so evil. But what people don't realize is that, you know, our healthcare system has been socialized to a great degree, and it's been full of government regulation and intervention for decades. I mean, going back to the third party payer system where that came in, and the HMOs, and how people began to rely on their employer for sort of this source of insurance, and just all of these really crazy things that have become part of what we consider normal in the healthcare system that is not normal for any other industry out there, this third payer idea and that sort of thing.
Well, how many different ways should we redistribute wealth? It's all about economics. It's all about redistribution of wealth. That's all insurance is. That's all government welfare is. That's all Medicare and Medicaid. That's all Social Security is. It's all a different way to redistribute wealth. You have my brother went to Breckenridge Hospital here in town. He was there for about 35 minutes and got a $10,000 bill, of which the majority of it was a trauma activation fee, which the fee, nothing ever happened. No service was ever rendered, but there was a trauma activation fee.
Oh, geez.
And he was explained, since he was not insured, of course, if he was insured, there'd be a 50 to 80% discount and disallowance to the insurance company. For him, he had to pay no insurance, so he had to pay 100% of the bill to offset, to pay for those who couldn't pay for their own medical care. So we have taxes going to that. We have people that are paying their own medical care are essentially offsetting by paying 3 to 10 times more than they should.
Mm-hmm.
So how many ways are we going to redistribute the dollar?
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because this ruling just came down, I believe, from a Virginia judge about the healthcare, you know, the mandatory, the mandate as far as, you know, basically forcing you to buy some sort of healthcare coverage. It's come down and is unconstitutional, and of course this will be fought. But what people on the other side are saying is that, you know, well, this conservative idea that it's unconstitutional because it forces you to buy a product, well, that misses the point, because in the current situation, people are already being forced to pay for people who don't have healthcare, because people who don't have healthcare go to the emergency room, and then, well, people who are paying for insurance or paying for these services are sort of paying for it in that way. You see what I'm saying? So they're almost making an argument that, well, everybody's already sort of paying for other people's health care right now, so we need to just completely institutionalize this practice highest level.
They can lower my taxes when they do that?
Right.
That might work out if they proportionally lowered my taxes.
Right on. Yeah, well, we're coming up on a break, and on the other side of this break, let's chat a little more about the unconstitutionality of the health care and what states are doing to push back, and get a little more perspective from a doctor. And maybe you could tell us a little more about how this health care bill, if not, you know, repealed or nullified in certain states, how it really is going to affect these patients. Get into that a little more depth. Again, this is the Live Free Austin radio show. Thanks for tuning in. Every Saturday from 3 to 4, 98.9 The Big Talker. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Welcome back. This is Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com. Jason Rink and John Bush talking with Dr. David L. Berry today. His book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, that we'll be talking about. Cha-Ching! We'll be talking about a little later. 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money. I like that. I like that it's a list. I know exactly what I'm getting in this. And it's like...
Not like a healthcare bill.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot shorter than the healthcare bill, which is what we've been talking about. So if you don't want to read the healthcare bill and would rather read a short book on, you know, actual practical advice you can use in life. There is some insights on the healthcare bill in here, actually, among other things. But we've been talking about the constitutionality of the healthcare bill, how it might impact, you know, private practices, impact, you know, patients, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was just this ruling that came down about, you know, in Virginia that said that the mandate is unconstitutional. Of course, this is going to be argued probably for the next year or so, I would imagine, across the country and everything. So what is your take on the constitutional aspect of this? I mean, would you be in agreement with that? You know, this is definitely an unconstitutional piece of legislation.
Well, if you go back to the origins of the Constitution, look at how Congressman Ron Paul, who actually did endorse my book, too.
Yeah.
But look at how Congressman Ron Paul votes on some of these things. If it's not strictly within the Constitution as a power of the federal government, then it is unconstitutional and is, in fact, illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And we owe it to our country and we owe it to our society and our children to not follow an unconstitutional law. This is a problem. Government traditionally oversteps its bounds anywhere it's allowed to overstep its bounds at will. And in this case, it's overstepping its bounds, and essentially it's expanding the nanny state that we've all been, we're, you know, look what y'all were talking about earlier with TSA. You know, I was in Omaha, Nebraska, and got both x-rayed and groped.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that was fun. in Omaha, Nebraska, no doubt. But, wow. Yeah, the unconstitutionality of it will go as far as we let it. And to allow the government to essentially control every aspect of our lives, that's what this is. Where is the freedom to choose? Where you're going to be told where to go, what to do. Once the health care bill is passed, you know, you order a Mr. Gaddy's pizza with too much pepperoni on it, everybody is going to know. It's going to be public record of what your cholesterol level is. You're going to get dinged or not paid for once you have that heart attack.
Well, and some are painting that as a hysterical argument, like, oh, if we allow the federal government to mandate that we have to purchase a healthcare product, you know, we're saying, well, that could be expanded to anything. And they're saying, oh, that's hysterical. But really, this is just the realization of a path that the Commerce Clause has been on for a long time, from way back when they told old Roscoe Filburn that he couldn't grow his extra wheat, that the government said he couldn't grow. And if you're interested in that story, just Google that. And then ever since then, really, we've seen this ever-expanding maze of legislation where the government is telling individuals and states what they can and cannot or must do when it comes to commerce.
But Jason, the preamble to the Constitution, and you too, Dr. Barry, says that the federal government should promote the general welfare. Come on, guys.
Yes.
General welfare, as in, but unfortunately, the general welfare of the nation as a whole, not of the individual.
Sure. And not a select group of individuals of big pharma lobbyists.
Sure.
You know, but anyway.
What congressmen are pulling out of their behinds order to justify. It's ridiculous.
You've got the general welfare clause and the commerce clause.
Necessary sort of and proper.
Exactly. These are the vague clauses that Patrick Henry, actually, back when the Constitution was being discussed and ratified, he said, look, these are very dangerous clauses.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear that these clauses are going to be abused. And he was very, you know, he was a prophet in understanding that, because that's what we've seen is this continual abuse. And really, it's like you said, though, most of these things boil down to economics. And right. We live in a culture where people are very economically ignorant.
Right. Well, and this all flies in the face of liberty and freedom of the individual to choose. You know, I got pulled over a few years ago for not wearing my seatbelt. And I made the under my breath comment. It's like, oh, yes, for my protection, right?
Tase him.
So, you know, but the corollary to that, or the obverse view of that, is if I am responsible for my own health care and my head injury, if I were to get a head injury for not wearing a seatbelt, if I am personally financially responsible for that, fine. You know, I can choose whether to wear a helmet and ride a motorcycle, or wear a seatbelt or not wear a seatbelt and drive a car. But if the government is paying for my health care, they can tell me, in order to decrease the government cost, they can mandate that I wear a seatbelt. They can mandate that I not have that pepperoni pizza.
Yep.
So that it's a slippery slope that we're going down to, where now if the government is then responsible, they can tell me what to do because they're responsible for the cost and the payment of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is a problem.
We see massive instances of data aggregation and these fusion centers, which they do it to prevent terror or crime, they say, but they're collecting all sorts of non-criminal information. And I can see this happening, and there's already provisions for it in the healthcare bill where, as you said before, they'll start collecting how many times you eat pizza a week. They'll start keeping track of your purchases if you're buying cigarettes, and of course your care will go up, or they'll deny you certain services because you have a certain lifestyle. Is that
correct?
True?
And your weight, everything. You know, I'm being told by the federal government that I have to, you know, electronic medical records are now becoming a mandate, that I have to keep electronic medical records that then are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think it's hard to, WikiLeaks is hard to hack into, some of these government computers. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. And certainly if there's a centralized healthcare database, anybody can get into it, and they know how much you weigh. That's you right. weigh too much? Well, what are we going to penalize you now?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have the liberty to kill ourselves through a bad diet, seriously.
Well, it's personal responsibility.
America right there.
Right. If we don't have the liberty to make bad choices, we don't have liberty.
Correct.
That's just the bottom line. And, there's information on how to live a healthy lifestyle is not a secret. It's been out there for eons, right?
And it's yours to choose. Yeah, you can choose it or not.
Yeah, and as a culture in America, we've obviously, by the numbers, not chosen that path because we're very out of shape, bad health.
And we individually suffer the responsibilities and the consequences of that.
Right, so government legislation isn't the key to allowing them to control all these things and give us fines and penalties and time in jail to make sure that we're a healthy, thriving group of society,
That's something we often point out on the show is that, they come in with a government solution when, in fact, government is the problem. And when it comes to living healthily, you can point to many government interventions that are leading to a less healthy lifestyle. For example, this is something that Ron Paul pointed out and really stuck with me. Is high fructose corn syrup, which we see in food all across your grocery stores, just about every single thing. Thankfully, the market's starting to take place, and there's a lot of stuff that's saying, with pure cane sugar, not high fructose corn syrup. But he points to the fact that we have tariffs on sugar imports in order to subsidize our own markets. That's why these Coca-Cola manufacturers are going to high fructose corn syrup, which is a cheaper substitute. It also contains mercury and, of course, leads to obesity and high cholesterol and all sorts of terrible things for our bodies. But, you go to the store and they have the Mexican Coca-Colas, which have sugar, because Mexico doesn't have that tariff. They're able to import as much sugar as possible. So there's many instances where government intervention is actually leading to a less healthy lifestyle. And now they're coming to try plop on more government intervention to correct that problem. It's just going to lead to a big
boondoggle. Yeah, it's the never-ending maze of unintended consequences from government intervention.
Well, I mean, you look at the Chinese imports, the melamine that they had, and all the food products and the baby food products and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have given up our nationalism. We've given up our manufacturing. We have given up our ability to essentially control. We've given up. Our debt is owned by the Chinese and by the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
They can in one moment click the light switch and kill the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Russia and China are getting together right now and deciding that they're going to promote trade between the two nations only in rubles and the yuan.
Yeah.
So, and cutting out the dollar altogether as reserve currency. And that's one of the things that I go through in the book is we're not responsible for our own future anymore. Our destiny is no longer in our hands. Our manufacturing's not here. But again, it talks about some of the ways we've given up our liberty by farming it out to other countries. We've given up our safety. We've given up a lot of things. Ron Paul talks about fair trade. Let's have fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
The free trade, the NAFTA and all of those things. Well, if we want to have manufacturing in this country, let's promote manufacturing in this country and tariff everything that's not made in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be a rough 3 or 4 years till we reinvent manufacturing here, but let's start somewhere because right now we are at the mercy of everybody else.
We're burying ourselves. Let's get into some of these little truths, universal truths about money here in the book. We're going to be coming up on a break here shortly in a few minutes, but maybe I can read one of these little headlines because there's some of them that really piqued my interest, and you could give us a little insight on those, and then we'll read another one, kind of like a lightning round.
Absolutely.
So here's one. I tend to be a pack rat. My friends are calling me a hoarder even. You have a little universal truth in here. If you don't use it for 30 days, get rid of it. What's that all about?
We do tend to hoard. It's that one actually references the Learning Channel. If something is not beneficial to your life, if you're not utilizing something in your life, it's just cluttering up your day. It's cluttering up your desk. It's not important to you. If it's not important to you and you don't, I wish I could live by my own maxims. Unfortunately, I don't. But if I could get rid of things and if everyone could get rid of the things that are not important to them in the moment or not maybe some, I don't know, you keep your little family album of pictures, that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But if you have something just cluttering up your, you know, that old broken radio that you plan on fixing sometime, mm-hmm. if you're not going to fix it, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Just throw it out.
Sure.
Donate it to Goodwill. Do something. Just get it out of your life.
How about this one? And there's a two-part. A good contract is worth its weight in silver. A good handshake is worth its weight in plutonium.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, I've been the victim of contract negotiations. If you understand what the agreement is ahead of time and you have a good handshake and are completely clear about what the contractual obligation is to each other, that's worth its weight in, again, plutonium, not even gold anymore, although gold's $1,400 an ounce. Mm-hmm. A good handshake and a good agreement ahead of time is much more important than the contract that you actually put on paper that then you can argue about with the lawyers later on when everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. Just have a good understanding up front, and you won't need the contract and the lawyers later on.
That's right. And another thing to back that up is, you know, you should be doing business with people whom you trust and who
Absolutely.
You can have a handshake and be able to work it out on your own. Another thing that's kind of similar to that, where you can avoid the lawyers, is you talk about with divorce, you know, letting a stranger decide your children's fate in a divorce is stupid. What's
exactly.
That about?
Okay. Well, I've been divorced now. I have four children. I've been divorced for about 8 years now. And the whole idea of a man and a woman fighting over how to divide their money, how future income is going to go, and what happens to their children, and not being civil enough to sit down with each other and just decide, you know, put your emotions on the back burner for a minute. Just sit down, be civil to each other, decide what works best for both of you, give and take. Y'all decide as adults. Be adults. We're mm-hmm. adults here. Let's all be adults. Decide what's going to happen to the kids, to the finances, to the house. And then you won't have to put it up to a judge who has no interest in what happens to you or your family and mm-hmm. your future. Take the people that have the most interest, the man and the woman, about their kids, their finances, their house, their mm-hmm. future visitation. Just be civil to each other.
That's right. That's good advice.
We're going to get into some more of these maxims here in the final segment of the show today. We've got Dr. David Barry, so stick around for Live Free Austin. Live Free Austin every week, 3 to 4 p.m. This is Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll be right back.
More energy. Stronger immune power. Improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back to the Live Free Austin radio show, living free on a daily basis, trying to create a libertarian oasis right here deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas, the capital city. We're right back with you. We got David L. Barry, MD, here chatting about his book, Cha-Ching Wisdom. You can pick up a copy online. You can order it from cha-chingwisdom.com, or if you're tuning in here in Austin, you can swing by Brave New Books, bravenewbookstore.com, 1904 Guadalupe Street, down on the drag, to check that out. Before we move on, I want to just remind you guys, again, Texans for Accountable Government, I'm the executive director of that organization, doing a lot of pushback on privacy and civil liberties issues here in Central Texas, and we will be celebrating Christmas, the holiday season, on December 27th. At Bagpipes Pub and Brewery, which is on Burnett Street and 183. It's the southwest corner of Burnett and 183, March 27th from 7 to 11 p.m. If you appreciate the work that we do, if you appreciate the message that we're promoting on this program, we'd invite you to come out. Jason and I will be there. Will Jason be there? Jason might be in Ohio.
I'm going to be in Ohio.
Okay, Jason will be in Ohio. I'll be there. The tag activists will be there. We're going to have a jolly time. This will be our third annual Christmas party. We always have a really good time. Lots of great people, lots of booze, lots of good food. There'll be a silent auction, a live auction. So come and spend the time, the holiday season, with your fellow Austin Patriots. Again, that's going to be December 27th at 7 p.m. at Bagpipes Pub and Brewery.
Well, we were talking about some maxims out of the Cha-Ching Wisdom, Cha-ching. 123 practical universal truths about money. It's interesting, on page 43, talks a little bit about what we were just talking about, attorneys. Attorneys are the only ones who win in any lawsuit ever. That almost goes without any necessary explanation. You've also, yeah, we can all agree to that. It's funny, the obvious is profound these days, is the truth of the matter. You know, this book's got a lot of wisdom that's kind of like, well, yeah, that's kind of common sense, but I don't practice that. Page 11, this is one that we would agree with here on Live Free Austin. The experts, media, and government reports lie.
Indeed. And it doesn't take long to figure this out. You know, you go and look around and you see 20% of your friends out of work, but you only see a 9.8% unemployment rate.
Sure.
In Austin, Texas. In Texas, obviously, we're a little bit on the immune side for some of the you know, go to Detroit, go to middle America, go to Ohio and look and see what the real unemployment rate is there. You know, you start extending unemployment now, you can be out of a job for 3 years and still get welfare for 3 years. Well, I could get another degree in, you know, I don't know, electrical engineering in 3 years. So,
yeah, certainly.
But yes, all of the statistics are massaged and put out as fit the agenda.
Yeah.
So listen to CNBC for a little while, but doubt every statistic you hear, because it's, you know, my dad, you know, a PhD in economics and finance. Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm. I just got a book from Half Price Books. It's an older one from the 70s, and it's How to Lie with Statistics. And
exactly.
It's got all these tips and tactics on how to stretch
well,
the truth.
And with the unemployment numbers, for example, if unemployment were calculated today the same way it was during the Great Depression, I believe the numbers around 17.5% is what
correct.
They're saying.
Yep.
And when you start comparing to what the unemployment rates did during the Great Depression, you can really see that, you know, we're kind of on the same track right now. If you just compare the numbers in the years as it started to progress. May not be on the upswing to a recovery right now.
Well, that's what the media is saying.
Everybody that's talking double dip recession, we haven't come out of the dip. We're still
sure.
on the slide. And there's no, based on what I see, there is no hope for recovery on this pathway. Just look at the bill that they're contemplating now and has gone through the Senate. It's probably going to pass through the House. By the way, is it okay for a tax bill to originate in the Senate? Last I checked, that's a bad idea and unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but besides that, to both, if you have a debt-based economy that's sliding trillions and trillions of dollars into debt every year, more debt every year, then to keep taxes the same or decrease taxes at the same time that you're increasing expenditures, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on or what philosophy you have, that's wrong. That's mm-hmm. a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's just an addition subtraction kind of problem there.
Right.
I think.
Which is another one of my.
Yeah.
it's
in the book.
It's about addition and subtraction, mainly subtraction.
That's yes.
Good.
Both personally. And that's the cool part of this book is it's not only, certainly it'll speak to you personally. It's good to help, you know, help you manage your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've still got checks in my checkbook, so therefore I must have money in my account,
sure.
right? Oh, yep. Well, just ask China. They've sent a few missiles across our bow, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
right.
one time in Los Angeles. But
yep.
To warn us that we are overspending. They're our banker, and they're saying, we're not going to give you any more loans. They've already warned us a few times. When are we going to listen
mm-hmm.
when they start foreclosing on us?
Yeah. Here's another good one in here that gets to my little, you know, conspiratorial inner child.
Yeah.
It's how much of your paycheck goes to fund large central banks. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and let's look at who owns the debt. You know, who owns the debt? There's central banks or European banks. There's, you know, the big families, the elite families that essentially own the banks, tell the banks what to do. You know, who's the Federal Reserve controlled by?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Queen of England has a huge say in what happens to the Federal Reserve.
What?
The Federal Reserve is a private corporation. It is not a branch of the government, as everyone thinks. It's a private corporation that is ruled by the elite. Mm-hmm. So, yes, where do your taxes go? Where does your debt go? Who buys up the treasuries?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who buys up our national debts? But, yeah, where do the tax money go? It goes to pay the interest on our debt, and it's barely doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
The interest goes to those who have invested in our treasuries, foreign countries, and large European central banks.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, you know, Austrian economics points out, which is the school that Ron Paul subscribes to and other guests that we've had on, is this idea that one thing that you've got to realize is that economies of nations are just simply made up of economies of individuals. And so there are principles that you apply as...
Or those controlling the individuals.
Right.
Yes.
Well, but, you know, it's like you apply something at an individual level, that economic truth remains true at when you... you know, turn it into 300 million people or whatever. I mean,
yeah. Well, and that's another part of this book is the microscopic and the macroscopic are one and the same. They're identical.
Mm-hmm.
If you live this way as an individual, take those philosophies and those ways to live, expand it to a national level. Absolutely. You
right.
have a nation of integrity, which we do not have.
Mm-mm. Right. No, so it opposite. Is. And this is an example, too, where it is time to introspect and say, you know, we can all stand around and point the finger at the federal government and how they, you know, all these spendthrifts and, you know, all this thing going on here, you know, they're just out of control and they need to rein in this and that. But at the same time, we really need to turn the microscope inside.
Absolutely.
And say, how can I apply sound financial wisdom to my own life
mm-hmm.
so that I can be speaking from a platform of having actually... lived this way, and then have not be such a hypocrite when I say, well, the government should live differently than me.
Well,
that's how I feel about it.
And that's the hypocrisy that has overtaken our nation of the last, 100 years, probably longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do live with integrity in our lives, and you know, some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic, they're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of religion I threw in on page 111 is one of my favorites. Were you born? Did you stand before God and choose to, or when you were born, did you stand before God and choose to have an average income, a mediocre job, and fair to middling relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about what do we really want. Let's stop being the least lowest common denominator.
Right.
Some of the public education we're just getting by.
Mm-hmm.
Least denominator is a bad way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Let's raise the bar. Let's live with integrity.
Our country especially is being pushed on that path, and you mentioned the Department of Education. I think it has a large part to do with it, but we have the opportunity and the ability to break out of that and to really excel like you have in your life and your career. So there's nothing special about the individual. It's just your will and your motivation and your belief in yourself, really.
And just do it.
Well, David, you're going to be signing your book today, tonight, from 7 to 9 p.m. down at Brave New Books. It's Cha-Ching Wisdom. Where else can people get this book if they want to pick it up?
Sure, and this is actually Brave New Books has pre-release copies. This has not been released to the general vendors, national or worldwide vendors, just yet. Its official release date is January 1st. But we have pre-release copies both through my website, which is www.chachingwisdom.com, or you can get it through Brave New Books here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
As of the 1st, probably even before the 1st, it'll be available at Amazon.com, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, all the local and national retailers.
Tonight, 7 p.m., 1904 Guadalupe Street, Brave New Books. Check it out.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a great show. Thanks, David, for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Jason Rink and John Bush with Live Free Austin. Check us out at Live Free Austin Radio. And Austin, until we speak to you again, live free.